بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك هم الخاسرون وقال الله تعالى واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليصل رحمه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تنزل الملائكة على قوم فيهم قاطع رحم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يدخل الجنة قاطع أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد علماء الكرام, respected elders, dear brothers. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the Sahaba Kiram a question. He said, or informed them about one reality. He said, Inna fil Jannah la ghurafan yura zahiruha min batiniha wa batinuha min zahiriha. There will be certain palaces in Jannah. There will be very, very lofty palaces. And they will be right up in the heights of Jannah. Because Jannah has also got heights and levels and degrees. And these will be such palaces, they will be shining bright. They will be glass palaces. These glass palaces will be such that from the outside you can see the inside and from the inside you can see the outside. Meaning there will be absolute pure glass palaces that will be constructed in Jannah. Absolutely beautiful structures. And this was often the conversations and the teachings in the gathering of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Kiram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'een, where they spoke about Akhirat excessively. There was a lot of mention of Jannah and the bounties of Jannah. There was a lot of mention of Akhirah. There was a lot of mention of Jahannam and the severity and the tortures of Jahannam. This is how Akhirat was a living reality in front of them at all times. Such was the reality of Akhirat in front of them at all times because of excessive speaking and discussing and thinking and hearing and listening about the Akhirah, about Jannah and Jahannam, that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to state that if Allah Rabbul Izzat has to in this dunya lift up the veils and the pardas and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows me Jannat with my naked eyes in this dunya, Allah lifts up the veils and the pardas, then it will not increase my iman and yaqeen in Jannat, in Akhirat, to the extent of one atom. And if Allah has to remove the pardas and the veils of the fire of Jahannam in front of me, it will not increase my iman and yaqeen in the fire of Jahannam and his punishment to the extent of one atom. Because iman was so embedded in their hearts, Jannat and Jahannam was such a reality, a living reality. Like how we see one another and we see the sun shining and we see the clouds in the sky and we see the blue skies above us and we see the blue ocean in front of us and we see the brown mountains in front of us. In the same way, in fact, to a greater extent in their mind's eye, Sahaba Ikram were able to visualize the Akhirah. They were able to see Jannat. They were able to see Jahannam in their mind's eye. Because that haqiqat and reality was in front of them due to excessive mention and due to excessive discussion on the reality, excessive focus on akhirah. Today, unfortunately, one of the reasons of the weakness of our iman is that the discussions of akhirah are very little, if at all, in our gatherings. The thoughts of akhirah, if at all, is very little in our hearts and our minds. There is very little focus on akhirah, very little discussion on akhirah. 99% of the time, Allah forgive us, the discussion is only about dunya and what is related to dunya and what is connected to dunya and the things of dunya, the cars of dunya, the houses of dunya, the furniture of dunya, the food of Jannah, the frivolous activities of dunya, the sports of dunya, the scores of dunya, the dollar rates and the currency rates of dunya, the business activities of dunya, the entire focus of discussion is this, this, and this, and this. To such an extent that sometimes, Allah forgive us, that we don't even feel comfortable when akhirat is being discussed. And we would prefer the direction of the conversation to go back to what is most beloved to us, our dunya. Therefore, there is a great need to revive once more the fikr of akhirat, the concern of the akhirat, the connection with akhirat, the love for the things of the akhirat, the love for the jannat, the fear and the loathing of the fire of jahannam. This has to be revived in our homes, in our masajid, in our communities, in our societies, in our friends, in our gatherings. And the work of tabligh and da'wat, Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, one of his greatest concerns was this, that the reality of akhirat is going far away from the hearts of the people. And he used to say that the focus of my effort is two things. Really, it's two things. One is iman and yaqeen, meaning the akhirat, and salat and the establishment of salat. That ummah must come back to these two things. And therefore, when a person, Allah selects him, Allah chooses him, and Allah cast his mercy and his gaze of rahmat on him many times, then he is chosen to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes into the fiza and the mahol and the atmosphere and the gatherings of iman and yaqeen. And he spends even 3 days in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah gives him tawfiq, maybe 10 days, 20 days, 40 days, 4 months. And he goes into that atmosphere and environment where the focus is akhirah. And day and night the discussion is about akhirah. Then slowly, 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 the deception of dunya goes away into the background. And the haqiqat and reality of akhirat comes in the forefront. Otherwise, the halat and condition of most of us is such that qadam su'e marqad, nazar su'e dunya. Kidhar ja raha hai, kidhar dekh raha hai. Very beautifully put by the poet, very simple, but very, very profound. What did he say? Qadam su'e marqad. Brother, your legs, your feet are walking in the direction of the grave. Every step we are taking is a step towards the qabr. It's not only when we go to the qabrastan that we are going towards the qabr. Even when we're walking away from the qabrastan, we're still going towards the qabr. Every step is towards the qabr. Qadam su'e marqad. Your legs are walking in the direction of the qabr. nazar su'e dunya, but your gazes are in the direction of dunya. You are looking in the direction of dunya, but your feet are walking in the direction of the qabr. Kidhar ja raha hai, kidhar dekh raha hai. Where are you going, brother, and where are you looking? You're going to make an accident. If you're driving in front and you're looking in the back, you're going to knock somebody. So, when a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes into an environment of iman and yaqeen. People ask, what is the need to go out and spend time and leave our homes and families? Are we going to go and preach to people? Are we going to go and propagate to people? Are we going to go and make tabligh to people? Are we going to go and lecture to people? No, my dear brothers. The reality is, we're going to go to preach to ourselves. We are going to lecture ourselves. We are going to speak to ourselves. When we come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all about oneself, reformation of oneself, focusing on oneself, redirecting oneself. And so when they come into that environment, the discussion is the discussion of iman and yaqeen. The discussion is of akhirat. The person goes to sleep, he's thinking of akhirat now. That is why many people see dreams of akhirat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because your mind is now focused on that. Otherwise we're seeing dunya all the time in our dreams. One person became a friend of shaitan. And shaitan made big promises to him. But the kissa is too long. I'd rather go to the issue of what I would like to discuss. So my dear friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always reminding sahaba-i-kiram about akhirat. So he told them about this palaces in Jannah. Now naturally, when a person hears about these things, the shock, the desire, the zeal, the ambition for these things comes into the heart of a person. And person wants to know, how can I acquire this? How can I achieve this? And it is achievable for every single mu'min. Every single believer can achieve whatever he desires and wishes for in the akhirah. Allah has made this dunya that place, that this is a place where you make the effort and you reap the rewards in the akhirah. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Dunya is the farm and the field of the akhirah. So we find that the sahaba ikram immediately they want to know, ya Rasulullah, liman hadhihi al-bayt, buyut or ghuraf, who will acquire these palaces in Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, liman atab al-kalam وَأَدَامَ الصِّيَامِ وَأَطَعَمَ الطَّعَامِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَأَوْصَلَ الْأَرْحَامِ وَصَلَّى بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ. Few things he mentioned. Feeding the people. Greeting the people. Speaking kindly to the people. Fasting. Offering salah in the night. And joining family ties. Joining family ties. This is one of the factors. And my talk today, inshallah, I would like to focus on this particular aspect, on the importance of joining family ties. Because today we find that the situation in our societies and communities is such that at the level of the family, there's so much of disunity. Where can we talk about the unity of the ummah? The unity of the ummah hinges upon the unities of the families. That's the building blocks of the ummah. If the families are disunited, how can the ummah be united? It is just an empty slogan. It's just an empty slogan. It is just flowery speech. If we speak about unity, 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 unity of the ummah, when we are not united on the level of the family. That is unity on the micro level. We have to first get the unity on the micro level before we talk of unity on the macro level. Micro level means on the level of the family. When families will become united, then inshallah that unity of the family will contribute to the unity of the ummah. But when the families are divided and disunited and disjointed, then how will the unity of the ummah be achieved? So my dear friends, many, many ayat of the Holy Quran, many, many ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this subject. It can be a very lengthy discussion. One has to look at one narration and riwayat. There are dozens of such riwayats. But we will look at a few inshallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyasil rahimah." The person who believes in Allah and the Akhirat, then فَلْيَسِلْ رَحِيمًا. It is required of him to join family ties. That is a requirement for somebody who believes in Allah and the Akhirat. That means that if we are not fulfilling this requirement of joining family ties and maintaining family ties and being on good terms with family members, then it is an indication. This is an indication that our iman in Allah and Akhirat is lacking. There's a weakness in our iman in Allah and Akhirat. That is the result. The result of that is we're not maintaining family ties. If there was family ties, then that's an indication that yes, there is iman in Allah and Akhirat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لا تكونوا إمعة تقولون إن أحسن الناس أحسننا وإن ظلموا ظلمنا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him that ilm and knowledge, that wisdom, that analytical understanding, that deep psychological understanding of the nature of insan and man, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his finger on the spot, as we say. Exactly what is the current situation in society. He said, لا تكونوا إمعتن. Don't become like foolish people. What is the way of foolish people? تقولون, you will say, إن أحسن الناس أحسننا. If people are good to me, I'll be good to them. وإن ظلموا ظلمنا. If they're bad to me, I'll show them who I am. I'm just giving a literal translation. This is how we talk generally. He doesn't know who I am. I'll show him. He said, don't be like that. Because he knew that that is the kind of mentality that will generally prevail in the people in the ummah. So he warned up front that don't be like that. But how should you be? Be like this. وَلَكِنْ وَطِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Make a firm pledge and resolution to yourself. Look at the strength of the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wattinu anfusakum. Allah, if you only understand the beauty of the Arabic language, what this expression means. What the beauty of this expression, the force and power behind this expression. Wattinu anfusakum. Make a firm pledge and resolution to yourself. What? In ahsan an-nas أن تحسنوا وإن أساءوا ألا تظلموا. That if people are good to me, most definitely I will be good to them. But if they are bad to me, I will not be bad to them. I will not wrong them. I will not oppress them. The best akhlaq, the best character, إن من أفاضل أخلاقكم. In one narration, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that amongst the highest modes or forms of character is this, that سِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ وَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. You should be such that you don't be that type of person who is tit for tat. Tit for tat, you do this to me, I do that to you. In fact, it's the opposite. Somebody does one wrong to us, we will do 10 wrongs to him. You swore me, I'll swear your father and your grandfather. You hit me, you slap me, I'll kick you and I'll punch you. So, this is not the akhlaq of a mu'min. This is not the high and lofty akhlaq that is expected of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he desired of his ummah, what he desired of his ummah is this: Silman qata'ak, the person who cuts ties with you, join ties with him. He doesn't want to come to you, you go to him. He doesn't want to make salam to you, you go and make salam to him. He turns his face away from you, you go and stand in front of him. Silman qata'ak. Wa'fu amman zalamak. The person that has wronged you, go and forgive him. Wa ahsin ila man asa' ilayk. The person that is causing harm to you, do good to him. And then what will happen? The Quran says, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That person between you and him, there was open, outright enmity and hatred. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will become your bosom friend. And that person will feel very remorseful and regretful. That what did I do to this person? Look at his manners, look at his akhlaq, look at his conduct. He will melt in front of you and he will feel very remorseful. And the very same person who was your enemy, that very person will become your friend. And not just your friend, but the Quran says, Sadiqun Hamim, your warm, close, bosom, beloved friend. Today, my dear friends, if you have to take an analysis of the family relations generally, it is not bad, it is pathetic. And what are the factors that are contributing to the breakup of the family? Why do we find this disunity in the families? There are a number of factors. One of the main factors is money, wealth. Paisa. That wealth is causing divisions in the family to the extent that good families, where it was never possible or imaginable, for the sake of the miserable gain of few coppers and rands of dunya, are prepared to take one another to court and fight one another in court for months on end, enriching the legal people, the lawyers and so on, and causing so much of harm and enmity and ill feelings and so on between themselves. Whereas the matter should have been that, brother, you want it, take it. There were two brothers. There was some dispute between them. The one brother said, you know what? You take it all. The Allah that gave it to me in the first place can give it back to me again. Barakallah, take it, it's yours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him not double, treble, 10 times. And over and above that came the izzat, the respect, the honor, the dignity, and the ajr, the reward, the thawab, and the status in the akhirat. And if we're going to fight in dunya, and we're going to have small, maybe legal victories, maybe a few rands and cents came our way, how far are we going to go with it? How far are we going to take it? Where are we going to eventually take it? We're going to take it into the qabr? The great kings of the world, one of the kings who ruled over the whole world, when he died, before he died, he told the people, my wasiyat, take my hands out of the kafan and leave my hands open, don't leave my hands inside the kafan. They asked him, why, what's the reason? He said, I want the people to see the man who was the king of the world, he is also going empty-handed into the qabr. What are we going to take with us? So money, financial dealings, results in the breaking of family relations, inheritance issues, this is a very big one also. That people deprive others of their rightful shares, or they prolong the distribution of the estate, and that results in a lot of unnecessary ill feelings in the family. That is why, I'm not sure if it's a hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it certainly is saying of the pious elders that ta'asharu kal ikhwan wa ta'amalu kal ajanib. O people, when it comes to social interaction, then deal like brothers. Have all the love and have all the family ties and be on good friendly terms and everything. But ta'amalu kal ajanib, when it comes to the matter of business dealings, then deal with each other as if you are absolute and total strangers. Do everything properly. Do it by the book. Have proper hisab kitab. There must be no shortcuts. How many a times people did things on the basis of trust. They didn't reduce it to writing. They didn't take the necessary precautions. They didn't do their proper reckoning and accounting and hisab kitab. And then that became the result of such major problems that today the matters are in the court case. So ta'awanu ta'asharu kal ikhwan wa ta'amalu kal ajanib. Your social matters must be like brothers. But when it comes to the issue of dealings, then deal as if you are strangers. Then there is no such a thing as this is my brother or this is my cousin, so it's okay, let it go. And no, we must have proper recording, proper hisab kitab. That is the one way to maintain and keep those family ties going. Then we look at another factor, and that has got to do with our akhlaq, our habits, our conduct, our character. Certain people have a tendency to be angry over small things, petty things, and that breaks the family relation. Man got angry, couldn't take a small joke, he got angry. That's breaking family ties. We got to have hilm, we got to have tolerance. We must be able to overlook little things. Somebody forgot to give me an invitation, somebody didn't invite me personally. Must have just overlooked, it wasn't something that he did deliberately. And even if he did it deliberately, we must be big enough and brave enough to say, you know what, maybe you forgot, but I didn't forget, I am here. So, these are the factors. Pride, arrogance, haughtiness. Person feels Allah has given, I've got enough now. I'm a wealthy person. He looks down on his poor relatives. And he feels superior to them. He doesn't want to intermingle with them. He doesn't want to have any dealings with them. And he cuts off ties with them and so on. The poor relatives also feel some kind of inferiority sometimes, because they got rich relatives, so they keep away. These are all the temporary, perishable things of dunya. These are not the things that should be dividing us. Dunya is there. If it is used correctly, we can create the best harmony in the family. In fact, the greatest sadaqah and charity is what begins at home, as they say in English also. This is a teaching of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which they have taken, that charity begins at home. This is from the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that to give charity to a stranger is one reward, and to give charity to a family member is double reward. And if that charity, if that member of the family happens to be a neighbor, then it is triple reward. Each family, if they take care of the needs of their poor relatives in their own family, close and distant relatives, will there be poverty in the ummah? Will people have to go and collect zakat from organizations? That will not be necessary anymore, because each family would be taking care of the needs of their own family. This was how it was in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the golden days of Islam, that there was no need for people to go and queue in front of organizations and stretch their hands out and ask for aid and help, but their relatives and family got enough wealth. They've got enough means. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us all, my dear brothers, hidayat and tawfiq, that we fulfill our role and part in so far as cementing family ties and building family ties and keeping and maintaining the relationship. Even if it is not very pleasant, or even if it's not in our favor, but we have to overcome the barrier of pride, arrogance. We have to overcome the barrier of our personal egos and overcome, jump over that barrier, jump over that ego and go and reach out and stretch your hand out and shake the hands of those people who don't want to even be on talking terms with you. Allah Ta'ala will melt their hearts, and inshallah the family will become united. And when the family is united, then we will find that there will be unity in the ummah at large. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.